Well, I'm Saverin.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
We just sat through 81 minutes of the Fursonas documentary. That was $13 in Patreon bucks, and 81 minutes that we won't ever get back.
So your money well spent, I guess.
I guess. Well, your money, thanks to you patrons, you've paid for us to sit through this, and boy howdy, it was a thing.
It sure was. I actually think there is value in using Patreon money to spend money on stuff like this.
Oh, totally, totally.
Yeah, I want to, it was like this, like we watched a Brony documentary too, and I bought that so we could watch it. And yeah, I totally want to kind of watch stuff that people are saying about our fandom and kind of.
Oh, totally. Because you know. this is Dominic Rodriguez, I think it was. Could you back it out?
Yeah, so Dominic Rodriguez, Video Wolf is his furry name. So basically the background story, guy was in film school, I guess, and needed to do a film school project. And he was the director, and his other film school classmates that wanted to do other things in film, like producing and cinematography and crap like that. He got them to do this, and then he came out to them like a couple years into the process that he was a furry also. He wasn't just researching this stuff. But he was obviously on the level with some of his subjects.
Yeah.
He was a furry, and he's in some of the interviews and stuff like that. And like, so first of all, my first major complaint for me, no mention of writing at all.
Not much in the way of art either.
And not much in the way of art. I mean, you oftentimes, like in media stories about furry, they'll focus on the fursuits because they're the most visually obvious thing about us.
Yeah.
And like so many media stories before, this was what, like 90% fursuit?
Yeah, like if you were, basically this film was fursuits and Kage.
Yeah, yeah.
And Boomer the dog.
And Boomer, yeah.
Lots of Boomer. Holy shit, lots of Boomer.
I mean, that's like the whole, probably like a whole 30-minute episode on Boomer if you were to like cut it up into like a documentary series or something like that. You would have like 30 minutes about Boomer, 45 minutes of fursuits, and 45 minutes of Kage as Hitler. Is basically how this splits out.
So we discussed this a little bit ago on Notcast, and where basically the whole Kage is, the first one, Kage is a Fuhrer, the furriest Fuhrer of the furries.
Yeah.
And that Kage is...
Which points for alliteration on that.
The David Maskevich, or whatever his name is, the leader of Scientology. He's a cult leader.
Right. So he's either Hitler or a cult leader, or probably...
Or both.
Yeah, I mean, furries, we're big into hybrids, so why can't he be both?
He's a hybrid Hitlerkin. So basically, this film goes out to be like, oh, the furries are this and that. And it's mainly fursuits, lots of fursuits, lots of Boomer the dog, and then tons and tons of clips of Kage during his many, many different panels. And the way it's cut, you can tell that it's not anywhere near contiguous, but they're trying to form a narrative with the various clips. Which
it's a fairly consistent narrative, though.
Kage has spoken
like that, though.
It's just like, whatever recording of whatever panel Kage is at, what sentence do we need Kage to say at this point in time?
Mm-hmm.
Complete with the background of the deep cello strums. Dun.
I don't think they went far enough. Like I said, privately, I was like, if I was directing it, I would put the fucking Omen music in the background.
The tubular bells.
And cast the whole screen red whenever Kage was talking, especially like, we'll take them out back and we'll skull fuck them.
Oh yeah. Oh Fortuna.
Yeah.
Yeah. This film basically is like, it has very little to do with fursonas at all. Like, it has nothing to do with fursonas almost.
Yeah, okay, yeah, if you're going to take the title, if you take the title literally, is what the word fursona means in our community.
Like 8 or 9 different people.
It doesn't ask them about their fursonas.
Yeah, it's like, what does your fursona mean to you?
You know,
which would be potentially interesting.
I guess it's somewhat, I mean, if you want to, like, it's a stretch to be like, okay, they're talking to Diesel and he's talking about his fursuit character being different from him, but it's not like, well, why are you Saverin? Why are you a Fennec Fox? Do you have a background for your character? Or are you or is he just an online avatar for you online? And like for me, you know, Buzz is just an online avatar.
For Saverin, it's just, you know, started as a fox, differentiated, Fennecs are cool. Sure, I'll stick with that. And it's just been an avatar for the last 17 years.
But like, to me, like, I thought it was cool that like they introduced the person's name with like the clip of their art or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's like,
you this know, is... a couple of those personas I totally fuck. But...
God, what a furry.
Sky, call me.
Yeah, he was cute.
But
mannerisms might be a little much, but he's young.
Right. What's your point? Arthritis sets in eventually, and those wrist movements will be under control.
Yeah, it'll be painful because once you're old like us, Fuzz, you know, you get the out of your system, and then it hurts. Oh, my wrist pops. Oh, God, I need my pain medicine.
It's almost like a hit piece on Kage, and it's like somebody tweeted a while ago, Kage, the media is bad and you shouldn't trust them. Media's response, well, Kage is a cult leader.
Yeah, that was me.
Point proven.
Yeah, and it was...
Oh, was? Okay, yeah. I thought you retweeted after somebody.
No, it was me, and it was just like, yeah, and the way that this is made, it's portraying him as like this controlling cult leader.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that... And we discussed this on the show as well, that people fail to differentiate why he wants to both protect the fandom's view, but why he more specifically needs to protect the fandom view when it pertains specifically to Anthrocon.
Mm-hmm.
Why a 7-figure event needs to have good relations with its city and its local sound media and social services and convention center. And why he would be very protective of the event when there's so much money in play and so many hundreds of there's thousands and thousands of people that come yearly. Not to mention, you know, and this is looking at it from a purely business perspective.
Right.
Anthrocon's big business. It's millions of dollars in tax revenue to the city of Pittsburgh.
Oh, we forgot to mention, I don't know if the director wrote the blurb himself or not, but like you notice right away the blurb for this on iTunes says it's a whistleblower film.
Yeah.
And what are you, Aaron fucking Brockovich? I mean,
you know, you aren't fucking, this isn't WikiLeaks, dude. This isn't fucking I'm fucking dropping
Edward
the
Snowden.
You weren't Edward Snowden, right, man.
Julian Assange. No, and I've seen more than one person be like this, be like, you know, I'm exposing something. I'm showing the seedy underbelly. And it's like, you're not talking about the NSA wiretapping every American citizen. You're raking a guy over to Kohl's for, like, wanting to say that, no, my event is not a 3-day orgy. You know, The bias really shows, because the fucking thing that, one of the things that I feel is very positive about the furry community was not even mentioned at all. Charity.
Oh, yeah.
Shit. Charity was completely absent. The literal millions over the last 30 years that furries have raised for various organizations, you know, Anthrocon and all the other conventions, not to mention Anthrocon specifically, which is such a focus of this film, didn't mention saving Fernando's fucking restaurant. I mean, how many thousands, tens of thousands of dollars?
It was like 25 grand.
Yeah. You know, and yeah, and the director did admit in an interview to one of the people that, yeah, he had a bias. He had a specific story that he wanted to tell. I mean, I don't know. Every fucking 20-year-old filmmaker thinks they're fucking Michael Moore, and they're gonna, like, shake the world up or something like that.
And, like, you know, later on he asks the participants, do you think there'll be a backlash? For the most part, everybody in there comported themselves pretty well.
Yeah.
Except for maybe the director and that one dude who was hilariously misinformed.
Yeah. What was his name again?
We fucking had it pulled up even.
Fuck.
Ricks? Think it was?
I'm gonna turn off the power on my thing here so I can.
This one guy was like, oh, you know, Kage and Dragonair fucking like in cahoots and all this, and
the furry higher ups.
The furry higher ups, and you know, Kage will get Dragonair's goon. Kage will tell Dragonair, and Dragonair's goons will beat up.
Come and kick your ass, I think.
Yeah.
Grix.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's like, Those two guys hate each other.
Yeah, Grix, I'm sorry, but you know shit about absolutely nothing.
You know, and part of it's included is like, is him being, is him filming at Anthrocon without permission and getting escorted out.
Like, I don't think Anthrocon's media, he was asking him on his wine stream if he felt that Anthrocon's media policies were too strict. It's like,
Kage's like, no.
As far as I know, some of the media policies are ask permission in advance. Hey, can we film for this thing? Will you consent to an interview? And I mean, yeah, Kage wanted some editorial control. I don't know how much. I am speaking from uninformed on that. I don't know if Kage wanted to step in like an editor and edit the whole thing, or whether he just wanted to have editorial control over his own pieces of it.
Which,
considering that the majority of really shitty furry interviews have been like hatchet bad editing jobs in the past, I don't think is out of line.
Well, even
but if you don't get permission and you show up and interview people anyway, and security asks you to leave, I don't think you really have the right to be all butthurt about that.
Well, even then, in some of these interviews, there's jump cuts. Like when they were talking to the dude in the raccoon suit, there's a couple times where there's a fucking hard cut. You might have not noticed it, but I fucking edit shitloads of video and I see this shit, and I try to mitigate it through transitions and said, there's no transition. It's just he like jumps an inch or two. Mm-hmm. Like his arm moved because he shifted his arm position. And it's just this hard cut.
Mm-hmm.
Like he had to cut things for time, but he didn't do it in such a way to indicate that there had been a cut. It just does. And I don't know if that's viewed as dishonest, it's just, but it's noticeable. And with someone who is as focused on a personal appearance and public appearance as Kage, doing an interview and then letting this guy, who had a very obvious out-to-get-Kage thing, like, for one reason, Kage was certainly not wrong to tell this kid to piss off. And he probably earned his ban from Anthrocon from this.
Yeah.
You know, when we said, like, oh, he's banned, what about? Well, now that we've watched it, if he said that, if he had gone and said, I don't know, gone back through 300 and something episodes and found every thing that he found objectionable in one of our podcasts and then asked us for an interview, you'd think that we wouldn't, like, have a negative opinion of the guy, right?
Yeah.
And, like, did he show Kage a rough cut of this, or did he decide to just flip it all around and be like, we're going to make Kage into this villain?
Yeah, I wonder what the creative process was on that. Whether they were just like, we're going to interview a whole bunch of fursuiters. Kage, can we have an interview? No? Okay, change of plans.
Well, guess what? Fuck you!
We're going to make this, you know, Fursonas subtitle, fuck Kage.
Yeah, and it just really, the director shows his bias that he really doesn't like Anthrocon very much, and he really, really doesn't like Kage, the head of it.
Yeah. And like, it is clearly that he has a difference of opinion on how he should interact with the media. But I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I found what some of what Kage was saying in the, like, the less, like, he comports himself very well in, like, the official interviews when he's, like, being interviewed by the media or something like that. He's a little rough around the edges when he's doing his own panel or on his wine stream. And, like, calling Chew Fox a fucking bitch as the CEO of Anthrocon, I wouldn't have said that quite like that. I'm not going to... I'm totally like, okay, fuck Chew Fox for going on fucking Tyra Banks. That was fucking dumb. But if I was in, like, a position of authority like that, I wouldn't just be
You wouldn't
like,
say that out loud.
I wouldn't say it in quite that kind of attitude.
You wouldn't say it in public.
I would say it in public. Yeah, I might say it in private.
And you have to also come at it from the angle, it's like, after the Chew Fox thing happened, how much BS did he have to deal with because of it?
Right, yeah.
Because, you know, he's this well-known pillar of the community, and he says, you know, with quotation fingers kind of at the beginning. After all that shit, you know, how much did he have to deal with? Like, what fallout did he have to deal with?
Yeah.
Because that was a while back. Fiesta wasn't around then. We didn't have anything happen with that.
Right.
But I imagine if we were in the same position, you know, would we have had the local ABC affiliate come around going, oh, furries, huh? Blah, 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 blah. By the way, do you fucking fursuit? You know, and putting, oh, you know, any one of our con chairs on the spot or or one of us or anything like that, you know, that would be a bit bothersome.
Imagine one of our conjurers being like, well, I do, but not all, hashtag not all furries.
Hashtag not all furries.
Yeah. And, you know, I realize that, yeah, we're, I mean, we probably sound very biased here, too. And it's really just that, like, I watched this movie and I was kind of, at first, and I mentioned this on Twitter, but when I first heard about this movie and I had seen kind of positive reviews coming out of it, I was like, okay, this sounds like maybe it's something interesting. I didn't know at the time that it was going to be 90% fursuits. And then I saw the articles that were basically Kage as Hitler. And then I was feeling less impressed. I was like, okay, this sounds kind of dubious, but I'm going to try to keep an open mind. I'm going to watch the movie and give you my honest opinion. And these are our honest reactions upon seeing this. As people that are on the board of a con.
And chair a con.
And you chair a con, and I run a business. I'm just like kind of falling on Kage's side here. It was like, maybe I would say or do things slightly differently. I don't 100% agree with Kage in every instance, but in general, I was like, I don't think their media policy is way out of line, and he's chairing a much larger convention than we are.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, I.
How long has AnthroCon been going with Kage as the chair?
This is the 20th year. Their theme this year is Roaring Twenties because it's their 20th anniversary.
So.
I don't know if he was the chair from the beginning, but.
But he's been at it for a long fucking time.
Yeah. I mean, he may have been. I don't know.
And so basically, Kage's had to deal with all this shit for years and years and years. He's kind of gotten it fucking down. You're not really shedding any new light when he's like, well, why do you have it this way? It's like, because I have 14 plus years of fucking experience dealing with it.
Yeah.
You know, why is this a thing? Because I have all this personal experience and anecdotal data and stuff happening at my con that this is why things are.
Mm-hmm.
And he acted like it was such a fucking gotcha moment when he's in the wine stream.
Uh-huh.
Like, and he's like, do you think that the media policy needs to be so strict? And Kage's like, fuck yes I do. And he does this little ha 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 cackle thing.
Yeah,
I'm like, I want to punch you in the fucking face.
Literally seeing somebody like drunk on their own sense of self-importance.
Yeah, it's like, ha, I gotcha, you shit lord. Motherfucker, he's dealt with people like you for decades. It just seems like when he was told no, he decided to make this whole thing into gotcha Kage. Now, from my perspective, I hadn't really heard about this. Yeah. Like, the first I heard of this first one I was saying was when the article came out calling Kage a fucking cult leader. And I'm like, huh, okay. Well, we sat down and we watched the Furries doc. We watched the Brony doc. What was that other one we watched? It was another furry doc, and it had, like, fucking other kin and stuff in it. And
yeah, it had the Shiro guy that legally changed his name to Shiro.
Yeah,
it's like, and it had the Furcast guys being interviewed. It had like two or three main stories like that.
And yeah,
it was probably like 40. Was it the BBC? No,
no, it was the fucking logo.
Oh, the logo. The special.
Logo special.
Well, originally it was a. It was a freestanding thing, and then they had to cut it down a little bit for the logo.
I think we watched the logo version.
I don't know. I thought we watched the original cut.
I don't know.
Okay.
Whatever. But we've sat down and watched Fandom Docs before. Like, we watched the fucking Brony Doc. Jesus Christ. It was pretty cringy in parts because it tried to make bronies out to being this fucking world-changing thing instead of just people who like a thing.
Right.
And, yeah. You know, and the logo thing on the furries was actually not that bad, really. Like, I came out of the three, I'd say the logo thing about the furries was probably the best of the three.
Right.
And because it had various narratives and it didn't, like, all furries are blah. It was like, this is this guy. He is a furry and he believes this and he does this. These are these podcaster guys and they podcast and blah, blah, blah. And this is the other family and this guy go bowling and whatever. And then in this, it just kind of was
Boomer
like,
the dog.
And then Boomer and then this other one. But it just like jumped all around all the damn thing. And I guess the ending shot is just like the final point of vilification towards Kage is he's like, man, this Boomer the dog guy, he's kind of nuts. I don't want to know what's going on in his head. And this is overlaid of a picture of Boomer the dog in a field making a giant snow dog. That's very well done. But it's like, and it tries to get this point across. Look at how evil Kage is. He's talking shit about this guy who's like 50 and wanted to change his name to legally be Boomer the Dog. He's making a snow dog. He's perfectly normal and harmless.
Okay. One of the Boomer has one of the best lines of the documentary is when he relates the story of what someone had told him that he is, quote, hardcore unemployable. I thought that was, that's a great line. Someone needs to, like, put that on their resume, hardcore unemployable. But, okay, you have, like, a 52-year-old man who is hardcore unemployable who wants to change his name to Boomer the Dog. There are a lot of, like, warning signs here that this guy may have some mental issues, and he should probably seek some help with that. And in that case, he should not be a spokesperson for the furry community.
I can guarantee you that a lot of Kage's response there is, again, because this Boomer the Dog guy was so publicly in the media.
Yeah.
That, congratulations, hi, I'm Kage, chairman of Anthrocon. Check out us completely cool people that like animal people and whatever. And by the way, I'm Boomer the Dog who believes, you know, I should change my name legally, and I have this cool paper fursuit and I'm going to bark.
And not only that, like, it's also bordering on a Therian kind of thing that he had, like, believed he was a dog since...
He called himself as a pup.
Yeah. And I'm not saying, like, Boomer is a bad person or anything. Well, just saying that, like, to me, I'm sort of like, okay, this dude seriously looks like he needs some help. And in comparing it to, like, the Logo documentary that had the Chiro kid whose parents, poor parents, looked so disappointed. And they said he had Asperger's, and I'm just like, filmmakers that interview people suffering from mental disorders in order to make a point, it feels really predatory to me.
Certainly, like, exploitative.
Like, yeah, exploitative, I think. It's like, we have this poor, crazy person. Let's put a camera on them so that everyone can look at them and see how fucking crazy they are.
And I wonder also if these clips where, you know, Kage is talking about these rather notorious people, it's like, what's the remaining context here? What is, you know, is he being asked questions about people that have made his life as a managing the PR more difficult? These people would certainly qualify. Chew Fox and Boomer and any number of high-profile public media things. Mm-hmm. Like, they talked about some dude who was a pedo who got caught.
Alan the Panda.
Okay, so Alan the Panda.
Yeah, and that was Chew Fox mentioned Alan the Panda. I remember when that happened. That was actually, he was an aide for a state Republican senator in Pennsylvania. I don't remember. It might have been in the Pittsburgh area. It was either Pittsburgh or Philly. And it came out that he had basically been talking to, like, a 14-year-old guy online about, like, meeting him in the shed in his backyard or something like that.
And that's fucked up. And he got caught, and now he's, I'm assuming, in prison.
Right. And this is also my problem with, like, certain other furry media outlets that, like, will write articles every time a furry does something illegal.
Yeah.
You know, and it's sort of like, this doesn't need to be, it's not furry news. It's furry news if, like, Kage does something illegal because he's the chair of the largest convention, you know, or if a major convention goes bankrupt or something like that. That's newsworthy. That's important for the community to know. Rainforest shutting down for a year? We needed to know that. Random fucking guy gets arrested and sent to jail for doing something illegal, and by the way, he's a furry that you've never heard of.
Yeah.
Is not fucking furry news to me.
And this makes me go back to question McConaughey, because Chew Fox brought up this Alan the Panda guy. Well, which thing stuck around in the public consciousness longer? This dude we never fucking heard of getting arrested for being a pedo and going to jail, or the Chew Fox drama, which was fucking weeks, or Boomer the Dog, which has been an ongoing thing for apparently multiple years, when he finally got told, no, you can't change your name to fucking Boomer the Dog. You know, which of these takes is larger in the public consciousness?
Mm-hmm.
And which of it relates back to dealing with being PR and someone who's just asked these questions by the media as the chair of the largest convention in the fandom.
Yeah, because it's sort of like, nobody assumes that all Catholics are child fuckers, because there's been a few high-profile cases of that. So no, I don't think anybody assumes that all furries are child fuckers because this one panda dude went to jail for that.
Yeah.
But they are going to assume that all furries are batshit crazy when...
And fucking in fursuit.
And fucking in fursuit. And that's the larger problem. And, like, we do a podcast about sex and relationship advice. We're very sex positive.
Yeah.
I publish adult material in addition to the non-adult material.
I produce audiobooks of adult material.
I'm not trying to not add to the porn quotient of the fandom. We sell Red Ruskers comics. I mean, it was pornographic comics known to man.
I mean, the art books go from zero to horsecock in literally zero pages.
You know, so I'm not, like, anti-sex in the fandom, but, like, it's still, you know, there are probably people that fuck in Starfleet uniforms at Star Trek conventions. Oh, I know there are.
You know, there's a fucking Captain Kirk cosplayer fucking a chick in green skin paint right this fucking second. It doesn't matter when you're listening to it. Somewhere in the world, I guarantee you that's probably happening.
But, like, when people are like, so why do you like Star Trek? They don't automatically go to, well, that green slave girl is really hot. I want a boner. You know, why do you like furry? Oh, man, Judy and Zootopia, I want to fuck the bunny. You don't go right to that.
Why do you think Klingons are hot? Well, their foreheads ain't the only thing that's got ridges.
Right, yeah. It's just...
Plus.
that's what the fucking Klingon pharmacist says as he slaps down the box of condoms on the countertop. Kapla!
Die well. Look, Klingon mating is notoriously dangerous.
I know.
Stay on topic.
I know. But just, God, I don't know. There's just, like, everything about this documentary I didn't agree with, you know. I mean,
it
didn't really, like you said, it was called Fursonas because it's a furry name and it's about furry people. But it's not actually about fursonas as in the animal alter egos that we all take on. It's very fursuit heavy. It's very... Let's vilify Kage heavy.
Also, you know, stoner furs.
Stoner furs, randomly, like...
Two separate times in the film.
It's like 75% of the way through the process. He thought, you know, we're really focusing on fursuits a lot. Maybe we should mix it up a little bit.
Let's add some weed.
Art, no. Writing, nobody cares
charity,
about that. Charity, fuck that. Who get kids dying of cancer? Fuck that. Which is weird he didn't talk about that, considering how much... Fursuits are a part of it, of like fursuits going to visit kids in
hospitals, yeah.
Hospitals and shit like
which
that.
Which is.
But no, God. He went like, you know, there's two things you need to know about the fandom, fursuits and weed. You Bong!
Ever, you ever watch a fursuit parade on weed?
I know.
I have, but it's
I was going to say, I know one of us has.
Yes. But that was just like a random thing. It's like Captain Uninformed. And Two Fox were the two people that toked up on film. It's just like, okay, whatever.
If I do something illegal in my private life, the last thing I'm going to do is do it on film.
Yeah.
You know? Okay.
Well, maybe they live in states where it's legal.
To Two Fox's credit, she is in Washington where it's legal. But I don't know where Captain Uninformed is, whose name I keep fucking forgetting.
It doesn't matter.
We mentioned it earlier.
We mentioned it once. That's more than enough.
But... I'm just like, okay, no. You know, watching it, like, I kind of got the feeling when it was originally being talked about, this movie being made, that this was going to be a game changer. It was going to, like, be, it was going to be a documentary that showed furry in, like, a positive light. Not, you know, I don't want the self-aggrandizing, the Bronyville documentary,
the Bronyville documentary. Man, I don't know why we started this shit. In the end, it's been 6 years, and it's kind of hell. We want to die. I mean, wait, no, that's not a very long documentary.
And now the news. or the Brony documentary, but this just felt really negative, you know?
Yeah, and
it felt like, hey, we have this whole community of people that like to dress up in animal suits, and there's this one bald scientist who's trying to oppress them.
What a fuck.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. It sounds like Kage is Dr. Doom.
And, like, I don't really have a strong opinion on Kage one way or the other. I've been Anthrocon 04 is my first con, but I've never interacted with Kage at all. He is just a well-known furry. But I was watching this and I'm like, I could kind of feel a bit of the dander going up, because it's like, this is just really unfair. He declined to participate in this documentary, and so instead you go on YouTube, get a fuckload of clips from people, and basically make him out to be Dr. Doom. It just seems slimy. It's scummy.
Yeah.
This is not really a documentary as much as almost a hit piece.
Yeah, it kind of feels that way.
And I just, you know, the only person I think that probably is going to get any backlash is the documentary guy himself.
Yeah, even the people that, like, I didn't agree with, like Captain Uninformed, like, sounded intelligent and knew English real good.
And they could word real pretty.
Right, right. They comported themselves very well on film, I felt. Even Boomer the Dog, who's clearly nuts, was fairly well spoken. He was very eloquent or whatever the word is. And I have to say, young looking guy for like 52.
Yeah, born in like 68, something 65. Like that. Yeah, so he's in his early 50s. Because when I saw the guy, I'm like, he can't be more than, like, 25.
Yeah.
No, yeah. In fact, no. Turns out that
he's 51.
Jesus. All right, well. So, yeah, I mean, that's the Fursona's Doc, guys. I'd say watch it with a group and maybe take a drink. Okay. If you guys want to get fucking ripped drunk, get yourself some low ABV beer and take a shot every time Kage is on screen or there's a rough cut with Kage in it. You will be drunk as fuck by the end, even if you use something shitty like Polygamy Porter. Some like 3% ABV shit.
Yeah, the biggest star of this documentary is Kage.
Yeah.
Kage and Boomer are in it more than anybody else. Let's put these two in a cage match. See who wins.
I think Kage would.
I do too, but, you know, don't underestimate Boomer's ability to deliver paper cuts if he's wearing his fursuit.
Oh, he'd just fucking spin and just slice into ribbons.
That's right, yeah. But also, cockroaches can survive nukes.
Oh, and yeah. And
Kage is so pickled with alcohol now that, like, nothing will kill him. So join us for a future installment of Notcast Movie Time, where we'll be watching that French werewolf horror movie that's also a porn.
Yeah!
Or if I could find it. I don't know, but we'll do more. Try to do more of these little updates here. Yeah, there.
You guys just need to point movies our direction, and we'll Patreon buck them up and watch them and make little special videos like this. brought to you by our Patreon subscribers, patreon.com/notcast. Like and subscribe. Good night.
And big balls.